The word of God today comes to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. If you have your Bible, why don't we all read it together up on the screen? Ready? Go. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. These days, the topic of conversation is coronavirus. What is going to happen after all this is over? We're getting vaccinated. Some of us, some children are going to be vaccinated. And also, some of you are getting booster shots. And we're kind of slowly but carefully planning regular life. And people are talking about new normal. What will it be like after all this is over when we go back to our normal schedule and routine? And it's predicted that it's not going to be the same. It's going to be different. And many are preparing their businesses and their also schedules, and even the concern of our health is going to be different. How different will it be? And all of us are trying our best to kind of accommodate our lives in order to fit in to the new life. But before anything, we need to examine what is it that we need to really pay attention to in order to prepare. And the Bible says this. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, that we need to make sure that our heart is guarded, that our heart will not be affected by all that is going on around us, that it will be guarded. Why? Because it says that it is the wellspring of life. That is where life begins, our heart. Depending on the state of our heart, you are going to be either be living in heaven or in hell. You see, how we prepare our hearts determines the situation that we may be in, and we have a different opinions and different reactions to it. You may be working same kind of work, same line of work, but you may have a different response depending on how your heart responds. There's a great architect, Christopher Wren, in the 17th century in England. He built more than 52 cathedrals. And he interviewed a lot of his workers, and he concluded there are three reactions to people who are doing the same kind of work, who are laying bricks. And one type of people, and they were asked the question, what is it that you're doing right now as they're working? And one group of people said, I am making 10 shillings a day in order to build this building. Second group of people said, I am building, I am working 10 hours a day, hard labor. And the third group of people said this, I am building a temple of God. How glorious can that be? Everyone doing same work except the response of their work was different. Why? Because the state of their heart was different. Their mind responded differently. You may be eating the same watermelon. There are some people who say, well, there's so many seeds in this watermelon. Other people may say, wow, the watermelon is delicious. You may be coming to church like today. Wow, there's so many people here. Wow, it's crazy. Other people may respond, wow, there's so many opportunities to make new friends. Depending on the state of your mind, the state of your heart, your response is different. As we go through life, there will be good times and there will be bad times. And depending on the state of your heart, you are going to respond differently. That is why the Bible says, depending on your heart, if you don't guard your heart, the wellspring of life will not be there. Life will not be there, which means that you are going to live in despair. Our happiness depends on not how much we have, but what kind of response we have in the situations that are brought to us. God wants his children to live a heavenly life. You know, when we pray the prayer, you know, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. What that means is that we want to enjoy the benefits of heaven, not only when we die, but when we're living here on earth. As soon as we become children of God, that benefit begins. So we can truly enjoy the benefit now. Some of us are not claiming to the benefit. I realize, you know, today I got an email from Social Security saying that your child qualifies for the benefit during this COVID time, that you can get some money. I didn't know. A lot of people took the benefit. You know, too bad my kids are older. Otherwise, we would claim six kids. But now we can only claim one. But it's only for those people who are willing to take the time to kind of claim that benefit they can enjoy. Likewise, heavenly life, heavenly living is for those people who prepare their hearts to live such life here on earth. If your life is reigned by God, today's passage says this, gospel in Christ Jesus, those of us who are in Christ Jesus, you have this benefit. And that whoever enjoys this benefit, it shows in their face. You know, it's kind of sad to see that a lot of people who claim to be children of God walk around as if they don't have God. They walk around like, you know, like they're so sad. They're so depressed. We're no different than the world. People who do not have God in their lives. It's kind of, isn't it kind of weird and strange that we, although we proclaim that we are children of God, we live as if we're children of the world. God is the one who really gives us a new life, and he wants us to enjoy that life, and he gives us a new heart. We're so used to getting the cosmetic surgery, specifically spiritually. We want to just look good rather than being good and enjoying the benefit that God is giving us. Godly people do not, they don't live life being dictated by the situation, by the things that are going on in the world. This is what it says in the Bible. Matthew 12:35 says this, good men brings good things out of a good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of an evil stored up in him. What that means is whatever is stored in your heart, that is going to come out in your life. If you have stored up worldliness in your life, in your heart, living your life, that's what you're going to portray. That's why Paul writes to the Corinthians that you are jars of clay. Whatever you have in that clay jar, when the jar is broken, it's going to flow out. If you have goodness in you, whenever your life is broken, that goodness should flow out. Whenever you have Christ in you, whenever life breaks, Christ will flow out. But if you have something bad in you, that bad thing's going to come out. Garbage in, garbage out, as the word goes. As you and I know, a lot of things are out of our control. Whatever happens in the world is out of our control. Corona, it wasn't under our control. It was out of our control. You know, who knew about 3 years ago that this would happen, that everything would come to a halt? Who imagined so many people would lose their life over a virus that cannot be even seen with naked eyes? Who would have thought that the economy and all these things that the human being considered to be success would come to a halt? No one knew. Seems like most of the stuff in our life is out of our control. But one thing we can have control over, that is control over our heart. What we think and what we determine and the path that we need to take, we can determine and we can control it. One of the questions that I get asked a lot by a lot of people since I'm a pastor, they come and ask me, Pastor, what is will of God in my life? What is God's will in my life? You know, going to college, is this will of God for me to go to Harvard or to go to the Bergen community? Yeah, just, of course, all the parents would say, it is, of course, will of God to go to Harvard. Some people ask, you know, before they get married, you know, Pastor, is this really will of God for me to marry this person? Oh, I don't know. Now, don't ask me those kind of questions. You know better. But one thing I know for sure, today's passage, it says this, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for sure, written in the word. And this is the word of God. Three things God says, this is my will. And this, by doing this, you are going to guard your heart. You are going to really have a heart that is strong, not only to survive, but to succeed in this world. And those are three things are this. It says to always, always be joyful. Well, joyfulness is determined by the circumstances, isn't it? There's some things that make us joyful. You go shopping and buy something you like, you're joyful. You go on vacation and spot that you never imagined you would go, and you rejoice knowing that you are in a good... See, situations happen that makes us joyful. But a lot of times, things happen that takes away that joy. But how can God's word say that we need to be joyful always? This word always is troublesome, isn't it? I can be joyful time to time, depending on the circumstances, but always be joyful? I don't know if that's possible. That's humanly impossible, it seems like. Especially times such as this, during the coronavirus time, you know, this pandemic time, a lot of things were restricted. You know, I love going eating out with my wife, but, you know, just in the beginning, we couldn't go out. I love to travel. We couldn't travel. Joy was taken away. I was so depressed I'm still depressed, not being able to travel as much as before. And it is normal. It is human nature to not rejoice when things that are not joyful happens in our lives. But people who belong to God, people who are in Christ, we ought to have a different attitude. You see, the reason why we are so oppressed and depressed is because we are under the circumstances. Circumstances seems to kind of press down on us. It seems to kind of crush our spirit because we are under the circumstances. And what we need to do is to be above the circumstances so that the circumstances will not press down on you. In order for us to climb over the circumstance, instead of dwelling under the circumstance, we need a ladder, don't we? In order to go up to the roof, you need ladder to go up there. You cannot like have a super kind of strength and jump over it. You need a ladder. And that ladder that's given to you and I is a promise of God, which is the word of God. That's what we need to use in order to go up above the circumstances. And this is what the word of God says in Isaiah 41:10. This is a promise of God. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Here it says not to do two things. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. If you trust me, it says, I am going to strengthen you and help you and uphold you. Those are the promises of God. You see, problem with you and I, even though we claim ourselves to be children of God, even though we say we believe in the word of God, we have this disbelief. We have a partial belief of, I don't know if God is going to deliver. I don't know if God, even though the Bible says so, well, that may apply to Pastor Jimba, but then not to me. We have doubts. And we have disbelief. And we have distrust in the promise of God. That's why we cannot truly be above the circumstances. God's word is unchanging, even though the circumstances is always changing. Only way for us to be above the circumstances is trusting the word of God and in his promise. When I ask you, do you believe in the word of God? Everyone will say, amen. Do you really believe it? Amen. Then live it. We say, I don't know. Believing and living seems kind of two different things. No, it's not. If you believe, you live it. Many of us, well, some of us are wired to distrust a lot of things. You know, vaccine, I don't know. They made it too fast. You know, just I'm not the type that distrust. I'm the type trust first and pay the consequences later. So when the vaccine first came out, you need volunteer? I volunteer. But there are people, you know, who are not so trusting. Unless you trust, you cannot live it. You know, some of us say, well, it takes a lot of faith. All our life requires faith. How many of you know how the airplane operates? As it takes off and lands, you don't know how that piece of metal can take off and fly like 10, 12, 14 hours. I knew someone who worked at a Boeing aerospace kind of engineer. He refused to ride on the plane because he knows how the mechanic works. And he says one little burst of pipe can bring the plane down. And he refuses to ride on the plane. But we trust on the pilot, on the airplane, and you get on it. If you didn't trust, you wouldn't get on it, wouldn't you? Likewise, in the Word of God, if you want to live a life that God is promising, that you need to trust and believe and live it. Paul was writing from the prison to the people in Philippi, and he was in prison. Prison nowadays is luxury compared to prison in Paul's time. Prison in Paul's time was worse than dying. It was misery. Yet he is writing from the prison to the Christians in Philippi, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. How can someone who is in prison talk about rejoicing? It is because Paul trusted in the Word of God, and the Word of God put him above the circumstances. How can Deacon Stephen, after he proclaimed the gospel, people were, throwing stones, and he was about to die, and he's looking up to heaven, and he's smiling. There's rejoicing in him. How can someone who is facing death smile before the death? It is because they believed in the promise of God, in the Word of God. So when God says to rejoice always, we need to trust in the Word of God. And second thing that the Bible says for us to do in order to guard our hearts is this, pray continually. Well, I have a hard time praying more than 15 minutes. I really think I do have ADD. I need to go get professionally diagnosed. I cannot sit more than 15 minutes and prepare a sermon. I have to get up and go open the refrigerator and do something. And my parents used to say that, I had some kind of an issue because I couldn't stay put. Well, for the Bible to say, pray continually, oh God, I can't. Even though I'm a pastor, I have limitations. But here, when the Bible talks about pray continually, it is not talking about our posture, that we get on our knee, hands together, heads bowed, and eye closed, and you pray for hours and hours and hours. It's not talking about that. It is talking about the dependence on God. Who prays to God? Only the weak pray to God. Strong and the arrogant, they do not need to pray because they know they have strength and they know they have power. They have ability, so they don't have need to pray. When do you pray most? When you're in dire need of something, don't you? When you're in a very tough and tight situation, prayer just comes out automatically. The previous church that I was at, it was a really difficult church. No one had to tell me, Pastor Jimbo, you need to pray. No one had to tell me because the situation was dire and difficult. It was just, prayer came out automatically. God, I can't do this alone. I need help. When Bible says pray continually, it is a posture of our heart that he's talking about, that I am dependent on God. Without God, I cannot do it. Why do we need pray continually? Because we are continually being attacked by the evil one. So when you wake up in the morning, you tell God, God, I'm up. I'm beginning a new day. I'm going to meet a lot of people. Make sure that you are with me. May the word that comes out of my mouth be a blessing to other people. As I drive around, may you keep my car safe. And as I go places, your love will be shared with the people. So we are always in contact with God. We are in communication with God. One of the biggest things that is emphasized for the happiness of husband and wife is communication. That we need to communicate. You see, my wife and I, we've been married for over 30 years. And the communication between male and female is different. We all have a set number of words that we need to use per day. Usually when my wife was kind of, raising children, she just used few words with the kids. No, don't do that. Stop. That was it. And then when I come home, I'm at church using all my words. And about 20,000 words in my bank is all used up. I have no more words. And my wife, when I come home, she's just tired of just taking care of children and want to have a conversation. But I have no more words in my word bank. So she said, how was your day? Fine. Can you tell me what went on? Good day. And that wasn't a communication. Communication is talking. Nowadays, now that during the pandemic, we sit on couch, on each corner of a couch, and then we get tea or coffee together, and we have a kind of a talk time, and we talk about what went on in our day and all that, and that was really good. It's, Just that's communication. Likewise, God wants to communicate with you. God wants to know what's going on in your life. Just let him know and let him be part of your life. Not only do we pray for ourselves, but pray for other people as well. And especially when we pray, God always answers. Did you know that? As you pray, God always answers. Some of you may pray and say, God never answers my prayers. He did answer, except it didn't answer the way you wanted to. Now, God answers in three ways, yes, no, and wait. Those are one of the three answers. But a lot of times, we ask for something, and then it doesn't happen that way. I say, oh, God didn't answer my prayer. He did. He said no. Except you didn't take no for an answer. That's it. No, God answers. Parents pray for children, don't we? We pray earnestly for our children. I pray for my children to really be blessed by God. But as we pray, we need to really pray the right prayer in order to receive answer from him. And in order to get yes out of God, you need to pray the right prayer. A lot of parents pray, God bless my children that they would go to a good school, they do well in school, they will succeed in this world. And they stop right there. You need to add more to that. May my child never succeed without God. Because success without God is the biggest tragedy in life. Because after you succeed without God, what's left is corruption. What are you going to do with all the money that you make without God? You're going to do foolish things, dumb things, crazy stuff. So we need to pray the right prayer. God, bless my child. Make sure that he succeeds with God, that he will never succeed without God. The Bible says in James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You got to have a right motive. God, I want my child to be used by God. May you be glorified by my child. May my child be a star in your kingdom. God, I don't care if it doesn't succeed. You know, it's okay. But may he be truly recognized by God and favored by God. We need to do that. And lastly, in order for us to guard our hearts, it says to give thanks in all circumstances. In heaven, there's one thing that doesn't exist in heaven. Complaints. There's only thanksgiving in heaven. There's no complaints. Who's going to complain in heaven? For your household to be heavenly, there cannot be complaints. Just thanksgiving. We give thanks not because we have plentiful. We have plentiful because we start giving thanks. Get that? We're not thankful because we have plentiful, but we have plentiful when we start giving thanks to God. For children of God, it's not about what we have that we give thanks, but who we live with that we can give thanks to. We have God on our side, so we learn to give thanks to him. When the Puritans came on Mayflower, when they arrived in this Newfoundland, half the people that came died within a few years out of starvation and illness. And since their Puritans came because of their faith, every time hardship came, they proclaimed fasting and prayer. So per year, they had many fasting and prayer because a lot of hardship came. And every year, the harvest wasn't good. So, you know, they were fasting and praying and fasting and praying year after year, month after month. And one day, one farmer suggested, instead of, you know, having this fasting prayer, asking God for help, why don't we just begin to start counting things to be thankful for? Even though life is not as good as it was in Europe, even though we don't have plentiful like we used to, we have freedom to worship God. We have freedom in our politics. And we have this land that we can really do something with. And from that farmer's suggestion came the tradition of thanksgiving. When we begin to give thanks, thankful things begin to happen in our lives. So do you feel like you don't have heavenly living in your household? Begin to give thanks. Thank your husband. Thank your wife. Thank your children. Thank your parents. And see what happens. During pandemic, a lot of hardship existed. Yet, when we begin to count blessings, you can find them. They're like treasures to be dug up. We have Kingdom Pioneers Mission, 5 churches in New York, New Jersey area. We cooperate in doing the mission together. And the pastors, we get together time to time to kind of, you know, for fellowship and to talk about the ministry. And during the pandemic, we gather a few times to share about what we're thankful for. What are we thankful for out of 5 churches, the pastors that came? Only like 4 of us gather because one church doesn't have pastor right now. And the one pastor said, our church has so many hardship. Before, there were so many troublemakers. There were people who came to church to yell at people, and they caused so much kind of ruckus and really chaos. It was terrible, but pandemic shut them out. I'm so thankful that they don't come to church because our church is so quiet now. It's so, like, so good. And it's, wow, that's great. You know, and when you begin to look for things to be thankful for, it can be found even in the most dire circumstances. You know, some people say, when I begin to talk about the family, some people say, our household is hopeless. For years, we have this rift. And now the distance between us is so far that it's impossible. No, it's not. It's not impossible. For hell to turn into heaven, all it takes is Jesus Christ. That's it. Don't call it impossible. It is possible. Begin to give thanks to the people around you. Thank your children. You know, encourage them. Yesterday, one of our child who moved out a month and a half ago to Manhattan, he's finishing up his school. And last year, he wanted to kind of live on his own in Manhattan and you know, just experience city. And he got a job. After 2 days, he quit. And he put on our family messenger, you know, Park Clan, I'm sorry that, you know, to disappoint you, and I had to, you know, quit because I guess I don't know what happened. We need to talk to him. But then as soon as he put that thing up there, you know, I could have responded in 2 ways. You loser. Just who do you take after? Mom and dad are winners, but you're a loser. You know, not only you know that one? You're a loner and loser. That makes a winner. But I put this, you take off their my blood. When I was younger, my first job, my father found it, and then he told me to go work at a strawberry farm and pick in strawberries. I worked 2 days and quit. 2 days. 2 days. So you must have my blood. You take after that. So it's okay. It's okay. Friends, our family is a place that we need to practice what it means to live a heavenly life. Your household shouldn't be a hell that your husband don't want to come home, your children hates being home. It's got to be a place where they want to come. They find encouragement and they find a blessing from each other. That's a place that we can call home. So don't give up. Don't give up. Next year, we are actually, as we're venturing into being a missional church, the first place that we're going to really put our energy into is our household. Healthy household, healthy church. Sick household, sick church. I realize, having been a pastor for 30-some years, people who really give pain to other people in church are the people who have troubles at home. That pain and hardship is brought to church and it explodes. And we don't want that to happen. So we want to really work in our household for our household to be a place that we can call a little heaven. You see, a prison and a monastery have same difficulties. Monastery and prison have not such good accommodations. You know, they cannot leave that place. And the food is terrible. But the difference is, in prison, they have complaints. But in monastery, there's thankfulness. There's a big difference. The greatest weapon that we have combating with the Satan is thankfulness. Learn to give thanks. Wives, thank your husbands during this pandemic time. Wow, at least we're not starving. Thank you. You are a good man. Thank your wives during this pandemic time. Thank you that for holding our family together by just encouraging one another, by putting courage into one another, we can experience heavenly life. Do you want to know the will of God in your life? Will of God in your life is this: to rejoice continually, always, and to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. That way, you will guard your heart, and your heart is where the life begins. Let's pray. God, thank you for being our God. Thank you for the word that you give us. Thank you that you continue to challenge us, even though at times it's difficult, because all the temptation and all the message that is just being bombarded in our lives says otherwise. But Lord, may we listen to that small voice of Holy Spirit that comes in our hearts, that knocks on the door of our hearts. May we respond with the amen, not only respond to amen, but also that we will be able to change our lives so that we may live our life enjoying the benefits that you provide. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.